Welcome to Has Been Airsoft. As usual, I'm your host, Megalo. Joining us this week is a treat especial. We have the wonderful...
Oh, that's me to go. I'm Rich. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Wow.
Round of applause.
Thank you, thank you.
And then next to him, we have the fantastic and regular...
How's it going?
It's Demo. He's being a little creepy tonight. And returning after a long absence is the wonderful...
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's Matt.
Yep. So it's a little bit of a skeleton crew this week. So we got a couple little topics to cover, though, I think. So do you want to take us into the first, which is some guns that both you and I have been, like, salivating over?
Yeah. Excuse me.
You also.
I don't give a fuck. I don't.
Well, for clarity, Rich said that he did give a fuck right before we started. We got... The LCT PKP release.
Oh, the PKP, yeah. But
and we have...
What are you thinking about? We're talking about the new G&G line?
No, I didn't know about the G3. I don't care about the G3.
Well,
the PKP, no. I do.
Wait, I thought we were talking about the Intel X299 stuff.
Shut your mouth!
I don't know what that is.
So yeah, as you've already heard, soon to be released, we have the LCT PKP, and I believe it's set to be a July release for the LCT G3.
I want the G3.
I plan
so
to buy both of them.
See, the G3 I don't give a shit about. The PKP, though.
Oh,
yeah. I want to convert one into a G3 SG1.
What's the difference between the PKP and the PKM?
Well, Matt,
PKP
has the knowledge.
All right. PKP, PKM, fairly similar guns. I don't know what all the little changes on the real one are, but aesthetically, you got a little bit of a shorter barrel.
For the PKP?
Yeah.
Yeah, the PKP also has a noticeable carrying handle that's fixed to the barrel, is where the PKM, the one...
Just had a fold-over, hinged
similar
carry handle.
Similar to the M60.
And then the PKP has a slightly different stock, aesthetic differences.
Okay.
But the fact it's being made by LCT, who puts a lot of, quality work into their AKs.
And don't forget, they have
the
a
RP.
Few very coveted and known support guns as it is. They make
the
M60s and the RPD.
Oh, yeah, the Vietnam M60s. Oh,
but
I've
how
seen
much
one
is the
those.
Cost going to be? Because
it's going to be high.
They're
going to
be a lie.
It's probably going to be at least a grand.
That's
but you gotta remember, it's gonna be
it's
steel,
milled
not
steel, or if it's anything like the RPD, this may be. Who knows? I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but the RPD came at around, I think it was 1075 or 9 or
I
something like that.
I saw it overseas for 9.
Somewhere in that area, Evic was selling them for I believe like 750. And
they're not map regulated, you said,
no,
right?
Not.
Yeah, I was gonna
cut
say
that,
that.
I'm gonna buy one.
Yeah, no, I almost wonder if we should.
I'm gonna cut
that
one
out.
Down. I'm gonna go because
people have said it.
If other people catch on in mass, everyone's gonna switch from E&L to LCT if
that
they knew that
said.
They could get a gun for like $200.
Are the gearboxes that good too? Like, is it a good?
They're
gun?
Okay, but all the LCTs I've ever personally bought, I just bought the shell and then I put my own gearbox in.
Okay.
But I haven't heard terrible things about it. Originally, they used to be low FPS gearboxes with like polycarb pistons that were known for cracking.
Okay.
And then years passed, they became SEMA gearboxes, which are, in my opinion, great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have any complaint about getting an LCT with a...
Yeah, the SEMA V3s are tough boxes. You literally can use them as a hammer.
Well,
I use them as a base for many guns when I rebuild.
The SEMA V3 is based on the Echoes, right?
Yes.
The Echoes are based on the SEMA.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they're the same thing. They come with them, but like then again, some of them do come with the JG gearboxes because they came with like three different factories.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of them being SEMA.
It depends what model of gun that
SEMAs are usually it's a matter gray gearbox, and the gearbox shells just feel a little bit heavier.
Okay.
And it's just
not
a
to mention
casting.
When you get an Echo One
because it's gray,
and you take the gearbox out, and it says like CMO2 on it. It's a dead giveaway where that gearbox came from.
Right.
They actually will have SEMA markings on some of the stuff.
Yeah.
I've never seen them make any kind of statement about that, but I mean, I think it's universally known that they just kind of rebrand stuff.
Right, yeah.
And they work as a distribution network, basically.
So why aren't you excited about the G3?
Because I don't need one, and it's so long, and it's so bulky, and like, what's the fucking point?
Rich is all about slim and efficiency.
Well, because it's the point is that cool. It's baller as fuck.
Okay.
You can wear your shorty shorts and your Rhodesian camos and rig, and when someone makes fun of you, you can tell them to eat a dick. Whereas if you do that with an M4, they kind of got you dead to rights.
When they ask,
I don't plan on doing that with an M4. When they
ask,
at all.
When they ask where you're going to fight the best war.
Best war, Bush war. We know.
But no, I'm really excited for the G3 because in the past, even with my team, we generally always run like, you know, full infantry kit where it's official. But a lot of the games that we go to revolve around these ideas of like African bush wars and like, you know, disputes between multiple factions and all this stuff. Where it would just kind of make sense to have a mix of guns. And there's just too many M4s and AKs on
that's,
the field.
That is the core reason why I'm excited. Because it's something that's not M4 based. That's not AK based. And that's going to be built well. It's not going to be like a plastic piece of shit.
Yeah, it's going to be made out of folded and welded sheet steel.
Yeah, well, the only guys at that point who are still making a G3 is JG. That's it.
And Classic Army, but they're not very accessible.
I don't know
in the
if Brewery still makes theirs. They brought a lot of their old guns back into production.
Plastic. Yeah. The metal JG G3s are you can't find them.
I have a Brewery G3.
I know you do.
What the fuck?
Well, you can find yours it's in your house. Okay. But other people, it's very difficult to find one. And having handled Tokyo Marui and JG G3s. They creak a lot.
No, well,
they're really cool. Like they actually look decent, but they creak like crazy.
But they don't look like the G3 that LCT is putting out with a skinny handle. They look like the SG.
LCT is putting out like every model of handguard and stock you can imagine.
Like the short guy too, like the MC.
They haven't like shown any photos of anything but full length barrels.
Okay,
but they have like the G3 SG1 handguards. They have Setmi handguards. They have regular G3. You know, the standard green handguards, they have the same shape as the green handguards.
Did you say Setmi handguards?
Yeah, they have
which
Setmi.
Means you can do the baby puke paint and be totally weekend gun it?
Yeah. Yes! Yeah.
From what I saw, they do have a model that it has incorrect...
Hold on. Demo, are you going to do a weekend gun it impression?
Yes. Well, if they announce they're making an FAL, it's all over.
Oh, God.
I hate to say it. I was looking yesterday on YouTube and saw videos of guys with Daytona guns and, like...
The SA-58 kits?
The long SA-58 barrel, which is probably, like 16? It's not, like, super long.
Just one. An
but way shorter than... way longer than the OSWs that
I think,
have.
I think Ares makes their version, but
I know.
Obviously...
Again, it's hard to find these days.
The Ares one, The Ares one is not an easy one to find.
What, the FALs?
Yeah.
And they also have the L1A1.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they're cool, but, like, I've always questioned getting an Ares just because the gearboxes were usually, like, an afterthought.
Yeah.
Like, I've worked on Ares.
An afterthought from Ares.
Yeah. they basically just pick a gun and see what they could fit in it, because, I mean, I've worked on...
you worked on that crappy Tavor, right?
Yeah, I worked on an Ares Tavor, and that was the most... fucking retarded gearbox I've ever looked at.
It's so upsetting because I fucking love the Tavor.
Same thing with the Masada. It was an Ares gearbox design in the original PTS one.
Really?
That's why I shredded like 6 trigger switches.
And the sad part is Real Sword proved that you can do a bullpup properly.
With the Type 97.
Yeah. It's a fairly proprietary gearbox, but they're literally bulletproof.
The motor spins backwards.
That's the only weirdest part, is the gearbox is upside down with the nozzle underneath the motor.
Right, I remember you telling me about that.
And then the motor actually, because of the placement and the fact that the piston spins upside down, and the motor's on the other side of the gearbox from a standard...
Right.
You know, I
it's
guess
driving
almost
gear
like,
on the opposite side.
Yeah.
But, you know, long thing to short, the Ares... Tavor is just proof of how to do bullpup wrong in airsoft.
Yeah.
Because taking it apart...
Long trigger bars with tiny screws.
This drills back to the LCT G3.
Yeah.
That it's somebody who knows how to make a gun.
And they know how to make a quality
gun. That is
gun.
Not an M4 or an AK.
Yeah.
Because that's all the market has become. Like, when I first started, you had the whole TM line and then Classic Army cloning the entire TM line, and then all of ICS's shit. Oh, and it was just, you picked the shape of gun you wanted the best, and you bought that, and you went out and you played.
Yeah,
and also Classic Army had a whole line of that HK lineup, and, like the HK-33.
And, they had the B&T trades for them.
Like, now, I remember going to Elias, and like being like, what do I want? Do I want a G3? Do I want a SIG 552? Do I want a P90?
And
the SIG 552, the SIG 551, and the SIG 550.
Yeah.
Because you had the choice.
Yeah.
And nowadays, and Elias always had like the entire lineup from Classic Army.
Yeah.
Crack it open a cold one.
Nowadays,
though,
you go into an airsoft store to decide on a gun, and you're deciding between what kind of M4 you want, or what kind
what
of AK
barrel
you want.
Length M4.
Well, actually,
it's what brand M4 do you want? Do you want a KWA M4? Do you want a BFC M4? Do you want a GAG M4?
Like, there's variety, M4. But it's like...
Do you want, like, a plain Jane variety. M4? Do you want one that has recoil? Do you want one, you know...
Yeah.
Do you want one that has a mag catch?
It's still an M4.
Yeah. No.
And
well, that's what
that,
I'm saying.
That I think is kind of cool with what G&G is doing, and I know that I talk a lot of shit about G&G because of what it always was, which was an entry line gun that everybody would get, say is the best thing in the world, and then when you're like, no, you gotta just take what you have and go to something better. Trust me, you'll appreciate it. And they're like, oh my god, why did I stick with this stupid fucking thing for so long? But I mean, they're doing cool things in the sense of they're trying to switch up the game. They're doing not a recoil shock system, but they're doing an electronic or a mechanical cutoff.
Yeah,
their newest line. They're doing that. They're having quick change springs with it. An adjustable spring where you can turn it to, you know, give you more or less FPS, just a little bit more to, like, play with. They're doing different things with the bodies, which is kind of cool, I guess. I don't know.
As long as they're not magnesium, I'm happy.
Right. And
my first gun was G&G, and the stock broke off.
And then they're sticking with their plastic stuff because it holds up. Their plastic bodies are well made. And then they're using the same M4 platform, but they're going with their 308 line, which I think is stupid because other than...
I like big mags.
Here's the thing, and I know you do.
And he cannot lie.
And here's the reason why: because you have a 417.
Yeah,
that's an actual firearm that's made into an airsoft gun.
I have a Scar Heavy.
Right. The things that G&G's doing with theirs is just taking an M4 and making it a little bigger and saying it's the 308 platform. It's an airsoft gun. Stop calling it the 308. It's whatever.
Yeah.
It's an airsoft gun.
If you're going to do it, you got to make it look like a fucking AR-10.
Well, is it even like an AR-10? It's
just
it doesn't look like one,
but it looks like a G&G.
It's not
body.
Wide enough, I don't think. I think it's literally just a stretched M4.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the thing. This is just what I have to say. A lot of airsoft companies, especially when I was working at Strikeforce, I've seen this pop up a lot. Like, it's not just G&G. Like, a lot of companies are sticking with the M4 platform, but to innovate, quote-unquote... they would just kind of change up things. Like,
here's a new rail.
Yeah, like, a lot of these guns don't replicate what exists in the real world, unfortunately.
It's
and that's kind of what
like
airsoft
trade shows.
And that's kind of what airsoft was all about. You got...
See, what you're saying is we're losing the plot.
Yeah, we're losing the plot. We're getting weapon systems.
Figuratively and literally, we're losing the plot right now.
We're getting... I mean, we went from Tokyo Marine making, you know, replica weapon systems like the M16, A1, A2, MPLs, the G3 line, and all of these, you know, awesome, you know, historical weapons, and also modern weapons, too.
We went from over-variety to a complete death of variety in Airsoft.
Yeah. Airsoft is just kind of making... essentially just what I said before. But not only just that,
I mean... Is there, besides the fact that it's easier to make the same thing over and over again?
Yeah.
Is there other reasons? Because you gotta
think, what sells.
Not even that. But do you think that with the legality of everything now and firearms manufacturers being more keen to what's going on and airsoft being at SHOT Show and being a more of a mainstream quote unquote thing? Because you got to think about it this way, man. Like, we live in a time where we were worried about getting Maruis because they had trademarks on them, not because they looked like M4s. Now people have a problem getting people worried about things because HK is coming and being like, you can't make these things anymore. But HK didn't give a fuck about the MP5, you know, themselves. They cared about the logos.
Yeah.
Now,
well, they cared about with the MP5. They cared about the silhouette, like that look, that shape is like a trademark.
They
thing.
Cared about that 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But when that's when the variety was still there. I don't
don't know.
Really when the variety started to die.
Just to give you an idea.
That's when it was still there, and then it started to die when I think these companies gave a fuck.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea, if any of you have been playing for a while, this would be a gun that would be very common to find back in the day. I challenge you to find, in the United States, in stock right now, a full metal-bodied M16A2 with the attached carry handle. You probably won't. So if you want to do a Desert Storm kit, you're going to either have to buy stuff from Hong Kong, or you're going to have to scour all the buy-sell trades to find a guy that has like an old GMP or Classic Army. If not, you're not going to find it.
And that's a shame.
And again, that's the thing where really there is no trademark on that. It's just, they go, kids want flat top uppers.
It's a change in the idea. Everything is hyper-modernized, whereas you still look around and you see, I've seen numerous games in the past like year and a half that take place in Soviet-era Afghanistan or early 90s or late 80s Soviet versus American if the Cold War went hot. These are still games that are being played in the U.S., and if anything, their frequency is jumping. So, like, there's not that... Now, there is still more variety than back in the day in certain regards, but there's still this disparity. Like, you have trouble finding stuff.
The variety's changed.
It has changed. Yeah. It's not completely gone, but it's changed.
Because, you know, that's a good point, because if you look at it, there might not be a huge variety of guns and, like, styles. You have your M4s, you have your AKs, and you have some other random things. But the amount of shit you can put on it?
Yeah.
Let's look at that. Because, I mean, in the last week when I was sitting back at home in Albany, and I was like, what do I want to, like, put on? I have my little short guy, and I'm just sitting home, and I'm like, all right, do I want to have... I had the car stock on it, and I had... It's like the Troy Rail, the 9-inch Troy Rail, and like a T1 and the PEC 15 and everything. And I was like, all right, you know, this is cool, but... All right, so I took the PEC 15 off with the D-Bowl on, and I was like, I don't know about that. So I took that back off with the PEC back on. I put the cat grip on. And
so
I was
you
like,
played
I
Barbie with your gun.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I play fucking Barbie with my guns. You do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody does.
And you are over on the other side of the internet. I know you're probably laughing, but you know it's true. You do it too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So.
We were going to talk about something else.
Yes, which is what I was going to bring up.
Okay.
So a couple weeks ago, and actually one of our most listened to episodes, I made a very bold claim. And that claim was that I would literally kill someone to be an advisor at a Jawbreaker game again.
So did you?
Who'd you kill, Mike?
I refused to comment on that. But, you know, Jawbreaker Actual reached out to me the other night. And he was like, you know, hey, do I have you as an advisor for Jawbreaker? And, of course, I told him, fuck yes.
Well, it was more of like, hey, please don't take a human life. We'll give you the role.
So, Jawbreaker is later this month. It's the 25th out at...
Of June?
Of June.
I thought it was July.
Nope, 25th of June. You going to be down here for it?
Probably not. Yeah, I know.
You disappoint me.
I don't know. You might need to give it a try.
But yeah, so Jawbreaker is end of the month, 25th.
Okay.
It should be a good time. I'm expecting it'll be like a... I'm not expecting old Jawbreaker. If you went to the older Jawbreaker games, especially 4, I don't expect it to be as good as 4.
4 was the one at the Zulu Field, right?
No. 4 was the last one at Quorum.
I thought 3 was the last one at Quorum.
4 was last at Quorum. Because the first 4 were at Quorum, 5 was at Zulu.
So this is Jawbreaker 6?
It's Jawbreaker, Jawbreaker. It's a reboot.
Okay.
It's a soft reboot?
It's a hard reboot, because I don't know how much I can actually talk about.
Are they
going
to have trailers
we'll talk afterwards.
Yeah.
Are they going to have trailers with piano from the original theme?
Yes. Yes.
Is it going to be rebooted?
So yeah, I'll be an advisor at that. I actually didn't find out what color schmog side I'm on.
Okay.
I just know that I'm wearing a white schmog, because if guys who don't know, Jawbreaker Games, to do the sides... That you're issued when you go to the game, either a tan schmog or a green schmog, and then the advisors have white and black or white and red to denote that they're, you know, an NPC.
Right.
But I'll be a... Me and Matt discussed Kit Ford already.
Yeah, we're going to actually match. We're going to basically be...
adorable.
Farby Russian, like, GMR copies.
Yeah.
Okay. Plate carriers.
Can I be your hired goon?
Yes.
Of course.
Matt's my hired goon. You can be his hired goon.
No, we'll both just be your hired goon.
Hey,
so then I won't have
apprentice.
To negotiate prices in a crappy Russian accent.
Okay, back to Drawbreaker.
Yeah.
Okay. See, it, like I said, it should be a good time. It will not be as good as 4, I will guarantee you that. But if you went out to Crimson Skies and you liked Crimson Skies, or you thought Crimson Skies could have been a little bit better, I think it's going to be a step up from Crimson Skies. I'm going to be really aggressively pushing people.
You need to.
Which, yeah, is something we need to do. And I think getting to be an advisor will let me do that, because that's the same thing that I did at Jawbreaker 4 and 5, was right. Create pushes by just being an asshole.
I'm just going to hip fire the M60.
Was there ever
a
Jawbreaker at the Riverhead Field?
No.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
There was only ever Crimson Skies.
There's a, Crimson Skies right. There.
You know, if any of you guys are coming out, I'll be running on one of the sides. I'll try and... When I find out what color, I'll let you guys know. I'll throw it up on Facebook or something. I got to see if he reached out to Jungle, which I'm assuming he did.
I'm sure.
And find out if me and Jungle are on the same side, or if this might be the first Has-Been Airsoft versus Has-Been Airsoft event.
That wasn't something done on the fly in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
That was a fun day.
Yes, it was.
I want to make it out there. I hope I can. But there's some things in the works for me that I'll talk to you guys about afterwards that might make might ease up things a little bit with me coming down and stuff like that. So
okay, all right. Well, we'll get into that offline. Now you have me intrigued.
Yep.
Yeah, go on a private helicopter.
God, I wish.
So the duration topic we had, the big long one here, is me and Demo were driving and we were discussing what we felt about the rules that govern SAWs and DMRs and what defines them as being different from regular rifleman roles at a national op level.
And okay, because it's bothered me for a long time. I mean, no offense to you, Rich, but Rich always comments like, you should lighten up your saw.
Gotta chop it, bro. Chop it.
Not chop it. Okay, let me go ahead.
Chop.
Let me explain my thought process
on this.
Actually, you know what? No. Go ahead and give me your thought process first, because I want to see where you're going, because I actually don't know where you're going with this.
So if I was running a milsim op, rifleman would be anything you want that's semi-auto, no minimum engagement distance, you can shoot people point blank, and a lower energy limit than anything else there, but still fairly high, because we're used to the Northeast. We're used to hitting each other with like 2 joules at point blank.
Right.
And then going up from that, if you want to use a DMR, it needs to be something that has the profile that, you know, from 10 feet looks like a DMR or a sniper rifle, and has to have some heft to it.
Why?
Purely for balance reasons, in my opinion. But you get extra energy, and you do end up with a minimum engagement distance.
Of course.
And in my opinion, this is a topic that comes up very often on the Airsoft Sniper Forum Facebook page, but I think if someone's going to run a sniper or a DMR, there should be some sort of real life analog for it, because it has to
match something's profile. Like, that's what I mean when I say profile. Like,
yeah, because.
But I mean, I don't just mean like a 20-inch AR barrel.
No, I mean like you need
with
to do
a 5.56. Like, if like even if you do want to run like a 5.56 style DMR, it should have to be, for example, like an L86 or something that they would use with a heavy barrel.
SPR.
Or an SPR, right. Like a Mark 12.
And it's got to have like a 10-pound weight. Like, I think it's got to be 10 pounds, which is light for a real rifle.
And that's like 3-4 pounds lighter than either of my Dragunovs. So
okay, so
that's not asking too much.
The whole place where, you know, this topic of mine spawned, like when I brought it up to Megalo here, it's that I'm... When I'm playing, I notice a lot of this on the field. Like, and also on r/airsoft. Airsoft. Cancer. Where just your average airsofter will throw, like, one of these newer drum mags that are fairly reliable. They're coming out in waves, and, you know, they're not breaking as often.
And they also have
throw
the
it
flash
in,
mags.
They'll throw it on their ARs. Mm-hmm. Like, just lightweight barrel, plastic JGs, or their new combat machines, whatever, and consider it a support role.
But Demo, like, people have always done that.
I was going to say.
Yeah,
you remember back in the day,
well,
someone dropping the word counter sniper, Which was a regular size M4 with a 4-power scope and a drum mag.
Yeah, I see that a lot too. I mean, I've noticed it throughout, you know, me playing airsoft, but prior to, you know, me hanging out with you guys, I've never really noticed it. Yeah. I never really cared. But looking at it now, I'm like, that's kind of stupid. Why am I lugging around this heavy-ass 249 M60 and whatnot? And these guys have a lightweight M4 that are just as capable of the M60. Because airsoft has, like, heavy limitations. You can't shoot past 300 feet, even with, like, the best fucking R-hop, unless you're a sniper.
Yeah. Unless you're really running a specialized
gun. Yeah.
You need a gun with an expanded cylinder volume to match the barrel length.
I've found that longer barrels are effective.
We're not going to get into the details. That's okay. But you need to have a specialized platform to really do it.
Same thing with saws. Saws are basically rifles just shoot full auto. Like, saws in real life are, you know, fairly accurate. They have to be. They have to shoot past a certain distance and saws, hit an area target.
The M249 saw, in most cases, is more accurate than the M4 because it's a double chrome line, thicker barrel.
Yeah.
And it's in a heavier gun with more mass that, again, goes into the idea that it is a gun that is purpose-built to spit out a lot of bullets
right.
in a specific, you know, in a short period of time.
Yeah, on like it's built to target. Purpose.
I feel like a lot of the people that get into airsoft get into it through movies and video games. Like,
yeah, I mean, we all did.
Yeah.
And one of the big things that you see in a lot of these games is the ability, and this is even games that are fairly realistic, where you can just mag dump like 10 mags out of an M4 without any gap of fire whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that they're doing it to be like scummers or anything, but they just don't understand that guns in real life do overheat.
Right.
Guns in real life do run into reliability issues. Yeah.
Well, this is where we get into the idea.
Hold on a second. Are you done with your point? Because I have
I'm actually trying to roll back to his, where we're still getting to the idea that like a saw and airsoft to be balanced against rifles, you know, to make it fair.
Right.
Has to have weight and mass to it.
Right.
Especially in a game that has semi limits for riflemen and stuff.
Yeah. Make it, you know, a balanced part of the game. Otherwise, you just run a fucking squad full of saws. Or you're fucking
saws. We've done it. Saw team six.
Or you end up running a squad sort of in reverse where your rifles are positioning for your saw and your saw is running and gunning. Which is pretty unrealistic.
Well, yeah, that's what I was getting to. So essentially going back to my little rant, with the saws, because like they're getting lighter and lighter, like the 249 isn't super heavy, but it's heavy enough to notice.
Yeah.
So when you have like this lightweight saw that weighs, say, example, you pick up like a Crytek and throw a drum mag in it, it weighs the same as any rifle. You just have maybe a little bit extra weight because the box mag holding a lot of BBs. This guy's running a rifle but shooting auto all the time. So with the M249s, you have this heavy system to where you have to set up and, you know, either ambush an enemy or try to shoot them at range, which you really can't. Because airsoft has that range limitation of like 200 plus feet. That's it.
So what you're saying is though, like the build of a saw, a proper saw, puts you more into the mindset of a support weapon gunner.
Yes.
Than trying to run around with a Crytek or something like that with a box mag.
Absolutely.
See, it's all about the immersions. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's all about the
and that's pretty much what I got into the game. Well, yeah.
No, go ahead. No,
yeah, that's pretty much what I got into the game.
I just see Rich percolating.
Yeah. You'll get to it soon. I mean, it's pretty much what I got into the game for was, you know, the immersion side.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people like to complain about it. Oh, my immersion is the common joke about it. But, you know,
the fun part's being in a lot of variety.
I
think one of the ways you make immersion happen is you make the mechanics of the game drive your style of play towards the immersion.
Obviously,
and
that's something that
Monty's games got right. Mm-hmm. That's something that Milsom West even gets a little bit right.
Yeah, I mean, it's
maybe
not
a lot
be
of it
super
right at games that are a little more organized than Belcar was.
Yeah, I mean, the games are not going to be super realistic. I know this. Like airsoft guns, like I said, they have limitations. You can't shoot very far because when I play games like Arma 3, like you're shooting like 700 meters plus. And you notice, like, the bullet spread, you try to compensate for that, and, you know, recoil, all that crazy stuff. And
airsoft engagement distance, what is a long distance in airsoft, is close quarters in real life.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much what it comes down to, is just, you know, the salt, like, when it comes down to support weapons, you really do have to limit the player count when it comes to it, because the saw is a pretty powerful thing in the airsoft field.
Especially when it's a field of semi-autos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're running a rifle with a drum mag and you're constantly shooting auto, what's the point? You're pretty much playing a rifle role, except, you know, pushing the other team back. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where I was going with that.
No, I get what you're saying. If you're running a rifle with a large capacity magazine as a saw, you still have rifleman maneuverability and a rifleman's mindset. And so all of a sudden you create this dynamic where you're a completely different class of player than a rifleman or a saw, because you're, you know, you have
utility.
Yeah.
You're in a position where
you have greater utility than both a rifleman and a saw.
The ability of your weapon system or BB gun, whatever you want to call it, means that your squad now relies on you more than if everybody was running saws. And you rely on your own team more because you're carrying something that weighs like 15 pounds. It changes the dynamic, and that's why I feel like squads usually seem a little more cohesive at games that have that kind of rule.
That have tight saw limits.
And it's getting tough because there are new weapon systems coming out in real life, like, say, the Infantry Automatic Rifle, the IR, the Marine Corps is using.
Yeah.
U.S. Marine Corps. We live in the U.S. Fuck every other country. Sorry.
Except for our listeners. We love you guys. But if you don't listen, fuck your country.
I don't.
But if they don't listen, how would you hear them? How would they hear you cursing their country?
That's the point.
And same thing with Russia, too. They have the RPK, which is essentially just an AK, just a little bit larger. You have...
It's just a weird gun.
And the L-86.
It's tuned and built and fit to purpose, though.
Yeah. So...
Now, let's let Rich get his rebuttal in, because right, I've literally just been seeing him wiggle and fidget and steam.
You guys ready for this?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's going to be be real good.
Wow.
All right, so...
Getting hot like a saw barrel. So
here's my go with things. First off, how many milsim, and when I say milsim, I mean restrictions to weapons that we're talking about, to where... Saws can only be actual squad automatic weapons. Rifles can only be rifles. A designated marksman has to have a certain type of restriction to it. How many companies like that are there? Obviously.
Like Present...
Milsim West is one of them.
Yeah.
Masato.
Masato.
Okay.
I mean, you know, not all of them are as strict. I feel like Milsim West is doing something different.
Milsim West, right?
AMS, I think, allows a little more, but there's still, you know, it's like, what, like two saws per squad?
Something like that.
Two DMRs right. per squad, which ends up being a high rate of them, but it's still limited. Right. I think they're a little too willy-nilly with it.
Okay. And then at Masato, you got, like...
Four saws per squad.
They really don't give a shit.
Two to four games. Sniper teams per side, and the snipers are basically given free reign. You can shoot 500 FPS when the riflemen only get four.
Right.
And I know a lot of people like to say that FPS means nothing. It does in certain regards, but having 500 FPS at your disposal, I can tell you firsthand from going to the Masato
game. We don't need to get into it too much.
No, that's fine. But I just want to say that...
it gives you...
Giving you the ability to use those heavy rounds, you truly are more effective at doing what you need to do.
What?
If I was only allowed to use 400 feet per second and treat it like a rifleman, it's...
It would have no purpose.
Going to shoot about the same distance as a regular R-hopped, you know, good AEG.
Right. How many of these games allow you to use an M4 with a drum mag in it and shoot full auto?
I don't believe any of them.
I don't think any of those mentioned do.
How many of these places let you use the IAR with a high capacity magazine in it and shoot full auto like it was designed to do for the United States Marine Corps?
I think actually Masato and AMS do.
Milsim West is the only one that I knew does that.
I know.
Milsim West does not do it.
No, I've seen it in the new version of the tax op.
It's new. Okay, so that's that.
Yeah, so
I've never seen... American Milsim allows you to do it?
Because they allow the RPK.
They allow the RPK. RPK has been put as that, and you see them mostly with drum
mags. Well, I mean, I would say this. The new Krytak, like the strike style.
Oh, we're not talking about that yet.
I'm
going to get to that.
We're just talking about like the guns that are in that are legitimately in between. I mean, that saw one is rifle.
If you want to,
in between, I would say.
If you want to be very technical, the modern rendition of the RPK, the RPK-74M, and its predecessor, the RPK-S-74 or RPK-74 in general,
Those don't even.
There was never a drum mag made for the 5.45 AKs at all.
They just used like the 50 round mag, right?
They would use I believe it's a 45.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the old RPK had a 40.
Right.
And then a 75 round drum.
Right.
But so back to the original topic here. I do believe both MSATO and AMS allow. I know they allow the RPK. Right. And I would make the argument if I had an IAR that it is effectively the same as an RPK.
You and everybody else. And that's what I'm getting to.
And Zulu, actually, as a regular field, has restrictions like that, and they allow the IAR and RPK.
Do they? I know they allow the RPK.
One of the guys actually asked about it.
Okay.
Because he said, what about an IAR? And he was like, yes, IARs are fine. Like as if he's heard it every week.
Right. And that's what I'm getting at with these restrictions, is that, first off, no place that you go to that's going to be a quote-unquote milsim game. Honestly, in my opinion, the only milsim that's out there is milsim West. They're the only ones that are restricting you on a level to try to make it like a military experience. We didn't last the whole game. We all know this. And I'm not talking shit about the company. I won't, because I don't think it's completely their fault. I think it's player base, and I think it's us as well. But the game didn't turn out as well as we wanted it to. But I think that their style of game is the only actually military simulation that they're trying to do.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
When it comes to everybody else, they are event producers putting on a big game.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we can get into the argument with that all we want, but I don't feel that there needs to be any type of weight restrictions for anything, because I don't think weight matters. I don't think that matters. Do I think that somebody should be able to bring an M4 out and put a drum mag in it and run around like crazy? No, that's fucking stupid. That's not how it works. Do I think that somebody should be able to take a saw, like I say that you always should, take a saw and strip all the bullshit that you don't need off of it to make it lighter, to make it easier to manipulate? Yeah, because if you want to make that more of an effective weapon and make you more of an effective person, you should. The saw, the M249 saw, is no longer referred to as a saw in military doctrine. It is an SAR, Squad Automatic Rifle. Because you can use it as a rifle, and it's treated as a rifle for CQB situations. So with that, at least they were doing that when I was getting out. So I don't know if it's like still like that, but when I was getting out, they would change it from a saw to an SAR.
It's not too many people, except for like the army using a saw anyway.
Right. But that's the thing, is that they're still using it. It's still being used in a milsim situation for that. It's a big fucking gun that's designed to spit out a bunch of rounds and hold a big box mag in that sense. That's designed to be like that. I don't think that weight matters. Honestly, for Milsim West games, I don't even think the Shrike should be included in it. And the LMG really shouldn't be included in it either. Because they're not being used by the United States military, at least anybody's seen.
Does Milsim West allow the Shrike in the CAC LMG?
I believe they do.
Yeah, because...
Well, the CAC LMG, yes. I know that they...
So that makes sense to me.
I did see someone with the CAC LMG. Because
again, that's a gun that in real life is built to purpose. No one ever... Like, the Shrike was built as like a, hey, we can do this. Not really...
Well, the Shrike was built built in the sense that you can be like, hey, you can take this gun, you can put an upper that takes a belt on it, and use that. And then when you have an issue with that, and you need to switch to a rifleman, you can take that off, throw the other one on, and run M4 mags through it. Or you can just run M4 mags through it without the belt. It works either way. That was the whole point of the Shrike kit.
Yeah.
But the Shrike kit's never been used by any brand that I'm aware of.
No, because like that was the marketing link behind the Shrike. In reality, it was, can we make an AR platform feed on belts and mags like a 249 can?
Right. And yes, they can.
Yeah. But to me, it's not a built saw.
Right. And but that's the thing, is that, and I don't think that with a saw, with like an actual 249 or any type of weapon that's designed that way, you should be able to take an M4 mag that's a 300-round high cap and use that in it, because nobody else on the field is using 300-round high caps.
I can agree with that.
Everybody in the field would be using mid caps.
No, I can fully agree with that, because again, with our thing about weight, you're now taking weight off the gun, because box mags do have a fair amount of weight to them.
They sure do.
Especially nowadays, because you want to use as heavy of EVs as possible.
Yeah.
Without losing range.
Right.
Yeah. And like that weight and that bulk, again, in my mind, in what I believe, lends to more of an immersion.
100%.
As a saw gun.
You should be using a box mag on it. Now, if you're going to be using the 200 round or the 2500 round or the 1500 round, the little 100 round nutsack.
Yeah.
That's your prerogative, whatever you want to use.
Yeah.
You use either way. But, and it's the same thing with like an RPK. If you're going to be using a drum mag in it, that's fine. But you can't pop that thing out and throw in a 600-round high cap into it.
No.
Because nobody else in the field is going to be using them. If your weapon is going to be designed to be like that, either use mid-caps or use a drum magazine. It just so happens that all the drum magazines in Airsoft hold thousands of rounds.
Yeah.
Because that's how they've all been designed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, like, if they could figure out a productive way to do it where it's a spring system, Sistema would have made one like 3 years ago, and it would be the best thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I brought up the weight limit is because the line between SAW and rifleman is kind of blurring. Like, even, like, in the military, you're calling what used to be the SAW gunner an automatic rifleman.
Yes.
So, in Airsoft, does that really work so well? Like, I know you want to lighten it up as much as possible to be mobile, but a machine gunner does have an advantage over, like, the common player, because you can keep heads down and shoot just as accurately as they can.
It's when it comes to a SAW and Airsoft, it's not about necessarily being able to fire more rounds faster than it is being able to fire more rounds, period.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that game should restrict semi-automatic. I think that if you're going to run a game where you can use mid-caps and you're restricted to how many mid-caps you can carry and you're using the ammo, shoot full auto, shoot semi, shoot whatever the fuck you want. Because it's all about conserving your ammo. When you have games like Pine Plains, like when Pine Plains used to be around, and you can carry a bag and a speed loader in your pack and as many mags as you want,
that should be semi.
That's why they restricted it to semi.
Yeah.
That's stuff like that. But if you're going to be out and you're going to be restricted to how many rounds you can carry or how many mags you can have on you, like at Milsim West, American Milsim, shoot fucking full auto. I don't care. As long as it's not indoors, obviously, that's fucking annoying. Yeah. It's fucked up.
See, to me, it's like, it should be stupid simple rules. It should be, if you're a rifleman, you can shoot anywhere you want, as close as you want, semi-only. That's the only reason why I say semi-only, is because at that point, it's all ranges, all distances. It's not, you can't see me air quoting, to bump my gun from full to semi, and I just drilled you in the dick from, you know, like a foot away.
Yeah, but if you give me a PTW, you know how I shoot, I can make that thing feel
yeah.
But I mean, if you can't hit somebody on semi so much so that you require full auto, it means you're not even aiming.
He's not talking
about...
And that's
already
not
enough.
He's hitting through volume of fire. He's talking about just being able to put rounds down range.
But at a certain distance also, airsoft guns aren't the most accurate things in the world.
No. So even a built-up AEG, no. Unless you're talking about something customized like we were talking about earlier.
Even that, you're still sending salvos, not single rounds.
Automatic fire, unless your like trigger is spot on, like it's very short, like a Polestar or a PTW. Full auto, like you almost consider it. Like even in a game of semi-automatic, you're like, oh, if I put enough rounds down range, I could probably hit this guy. But semi-automatic, like every time I pull the trigger, I feel like my aim is going to go a little off. Because airsoft guns, they do have a bit of a long trigger hold, depending on the gun.
And there's no break point, like a
there's
real
no
trigger.
There's no break points at anything. Like, saws do have that advantage. You can kind of see where your rounds are going and try to make those adjustments. If you're a rifle with limited ammunition, you're a little more careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to the limitations of the guns themselves. Like, you can't shoot further than 200 something feet. I'm not going to say that for every airsoft gun, because I'm sure there are guns that shoot further than that.
Yeah.
But they do have their limitations. Everything in airsoft is considered close quarters battle by real standards.
Yeah.
And the SAW does definitely take advantage of that.
Because I mean, you're
using... always shooting full auto.
Right.
Like, whenever I shoot, I always point shoot. I never use the red dot sight because I could see the BBs. All I have to do is kind of have them trace their target.
The only optic I would put on a SAW would be something with like an ACOG or a...
I do that because...
Just for spotting.
I just do it for spotting.
It's the only reason I put that on there. But, again, that adds weight. Why would I want to have weight? Why would I want to be able to... Why would I want to take something... And this is my main thing when it comes to the SAWs and like the whole weight argument with stuff, is why would I want to take something that's super bulky and then take everything that I have off of it, or keep everything on it and put more stuff on it to make it heavier, so this way it's harder to manipulate, when I can go, you know what? That bottom tri-rail can fit a flashlight and a laser onto, and I can take that front hand, the front rail off the top of it, top rail off, and throw that thing fucking away. I can take the actual...
Even sometimes I don't use that.
Take the tray itself, and do I need a tray that has a rail on it? I don't need the rail on it. No, it's a little bit extra weight. Get rid of that. And then take the actual saw stock that's on, like the saw, the Mark 46 collapsible stock. That stock itself is heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
And put a fucking CTR on it. Boom. Lighter.
Oh, yeah.
I game mean, over.
Chop.
Chopped.
Maybe it's not so much a weight thing.
You know, cut the it barrel might... down, mill holes in the receiver, yeah. You know, just go nuts. You,
I thought about
you,
it.
You don't need a trigger.
Drill holes in the barrel.
Yeah, you don't even need a trigger. What we'll do is we'll just give you two little contacts and just lick your fingers and you'll just
give me a 9-volt.
Or voice control.
But yeah.
Every time you it fires.
Yeah, maybe it's not so much a weight thing. Maybe it's such of like the size of the weapon, too. Like, if a saw gets smaller, it's easier to manipulate, which goes back into weight.
And it comes back down into what I was saying before, where, like, silhouette is what matters. Like, the overall profile of the gun is what matters.
Yeah, at least with the RPK, I mean, it's skinny. I mean, it's an AK Kirby.
Yeah, but you can tell.
But it's long as a motherfucker.
And you can tell from the distance when somebody's using an RPK.
A 249.
Somebody's using a 249.
Right. A 249 is short. Like, it could be short. Like,
yeah, but they're stout.
But they're wide, too. So it's the opposite of an RPK. But then once you move into what Crytek has out, essentially the only thing that's bigger on that rather than... say like the feed tray, like on a 249 where the body itself is just light.
Yeah.
Light. No, not the box mag, the handguard. Like the box mag you can get away with.
The regular 249
the handguard is the only thing that's chunky. Bigger.
Yeah, so you and take that fucking thing off.
A little chody.
As when I was at Strike Force messing with the one we had in stock, the thing.
Oh, the Crytek one?
Yeah, it just felt like a rifle.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I want my guns to feel comfortable and maneuverable. I want to be able to transition quickly, as fast as I do with a rifle, with a saw. That's why I would take off that big box mag and throw a smaller one on there, if I had the option.
Would you cut the trigger guard out and put a double trigger on it?
I'm not a douchebag.
Maybe take the stock off of it.
It sounds like you're a douchebag.
I'm not a douche, I just like lighter weapons, alright? Like, honestly, if I had...
Is that why you don't like the G3?
No, I just don't, I don't see a purpose for it. I don't need a G3.
Because G3 is like a runway model. Honestly, it's really long, but it's skinny as fuck.
Just going back to that.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Just going back to that. I want to buy three and make a tent out of them. The G3 is probably going to be the best thing that's going to happen to this market.
Yeah.
Or
it's
going to
be really cool.
At least one of them. At least adding some
I think
variety.
I think it might open up the floodgates on some of the variety. As we're dragging back to the first topic, it might open up the floodgates on some of the variety. And yeah. I would really
Could
like to go to games and see dudes who are... running sniper spotter who are running like a G3 SG1.
Even if it's modern
weapons. Or maybe
weapons.
A PSG1.
Even if it's just modern weapons. The MPX hasn't been replicated yet.
And no. They can do it. The fucking ASG has the Scorpion. Or the Scorpio. Scorpion, right?
Scorpion.
Yeah. That being said, I gotta take a piss.
Like, that's we've talked about that before. We don't need to go back into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the Scorpion very much just because it makes it harder to find the VZ-63?
I will say that we are seeing a little bit of variety
VZ-61.
On the Russian side now, because you see
it's
the VSS, the VALS,
yeah.
The PP-19.
I'll say right now, the Russian airsoft scene has only gotten better in the last 10 years that I've been in. Every single year, you have a model that you... I can tell you, sitting in my house on my computer back in 2008, 2009, I would have... never once fucking imagined that anytime soon I would have a VAL, or a VAL, a Bison, Vidyaz, PKP, you name it, it's out.
Yeah.
The only thing we don't have is a PP2000, an SR2, just little real niche shit.
The PP2000 is the SMG, right?
It's very small SMG.
It looks like a space gun.
Right.
Yeah.
It's got the cutout grip in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an Uzi with a cutout grip
in the front.
Yeah.
There's really, I was sitting and thinking about it the other day. While there are absolutely still Russian guns that are either are in use or have been in use in the 20 years that are not in airsoft yet, there's way more that are in airsoft now. And that was not the case when I started. You couldn't even find a full-size AK-74 for less than $1,000. And I wanted to say this about LCT before. One of the great things that makes them such a different company is prior to LCT hitting the market, if you wanted to get a really proper... you know, heavy-duty steel rifle that wasn't, like, real sword, which doesn't make any proper Russian guns,
right.
Really.
Everything they make is Chinese.
You had
right?
to get Garter or Inukatsu kits.
Yeah.
Garter and Inukatsu kits were at least $1,000 for the most plain Jane AK-74, AKS-74M,
yeah, I remember.
Any of them. That was it. That was your only option. And now LCT is the same OEM that made the Inokatsu kits, from what I've been told. I could absolutely have gotten bad information, but I have handled both, and they do look identical. The way they're put together with the grub screws is identical. The finish on the body, identical. And they're close to one-third the price of what Garter and Inokatsu used to be. It is getting better every year.
That is why, like, it is exciting for LCT to do the G3 for what it spells for the market.
It opens up the possibilities.
I wonder if maybe next we'll see MP3s from MP5s from them.
Next you may see has been Airsoft on MP3 format.
I would love for somebody to put out MP5s again.
Yeah.
Right now it's just BFC. It's just them. And their MP5s, aesthetically, they look nice.
Yeah, but like, I want that fucking nice doo-doo butter, three-round burst mechanical gearbox.
That you can't breaks if you look at it wrong.
Yeah.
The trigger breaks. Like, just opening those things up. Like, imagine this. Like, the trigger itself, like, has two bars that stick out on it. And both of those bars, I think it's just one bar. It sticks out on the trigger to its left. Once you pull the trigger, that small little bar... And it's just cast metal, like most airsoft guns are. Pushes up on the trigger a lever that pushes the contact, which is in front of it. And that's what engages the trigger.
That's like a fucking Rube Goldberg mechanism for firing a gun. Does it like spank a chicken in the ass and the chicken walks down a rope? And then it picks something up, and then a matchbook falls,
essentially,
and that lights
yeah.
something on fire. And then, like, a little Chinese man wakes up and just, like, spins the motor over for you by hand.
Yeah. And the only way to fix that is to, like, break it off and drill it and tap it.
But then how do you wake the chicken up?
Okay.
Especially the redundancy with the fact that three-round burst MOSFETs are so widely available in the game now.
Yeah.
Just give me the gun that only shoots semi and full. I'll live with it.
Yeah.
I don't need three-round burst.
No.
I've never felt the need.
If you want to make it into the gun, there's better ways to implement it than a shitty, ratcheting, mechanical nonsense made out of pop metal that will break.
And leave that decision to the consumer and keep the price lower.
Right. All I fucking want is an MP5 SD6.
Yep.
And an MP5, what's the one with the...
Internally suppressed.
MP5J. I think that's the MP5.
Not the J, because the J has like a weird collapsible stock. There's like an MP5 A5.
Yeah, you can do an A5. The J MP5, is just a slightly different stock. It's a thicker pad on the back.
Yeah, it's stupid. MP5 A5 with the Surefire fucking...
Oh, that's the Navy.
Whatever.
With the flashlight?
With the flashlight. I always like that. And then an SD6 with a hose clamp and a flashlight.
I can't look at those guns without thinking about Elian Gonzalez.
I know, because of that picture of the dude with the mustache.
Never forget that. I want that mustache.
I know. Dude, I know. But, no.
Like, if I were to ever become a member of law enforcement, I would have to grow that mustache immediately.
And find a Cuban child as quickly as possible.
It's not difficult.
But seriously, MP, I would, if the G3 comes off as well as I hope it does, fucking MP5, I hope will be the next thing, because it's the same thing, a little smaller.
Yeah.
And that would be it. I'd be sad.
There was one concept photo with all the folded G3 bodies that looked like an MP5 Magwell, like the lower on the MP5. No other info has been given. They haven't even acknowledged the fact that it exists.
What I would actually flip my lid over if LCT did it. HK33.
Yes.
The 5.56 G3 MP5
cool.
mixture.
We know you could do it, LCT.
It's one of my favorite guns, period. If I ever move to a free state, I will be buying or building one immediately.
Going through this conversation just makes me think, why, like, the sudden surge in M4s? I mean, I know, like, obviously the market has a lot to do with it.
As the market grew.
But I feel like it could have something to do with the simplicity of use. Reloads are quick on M4s.
It's not,
like,
the simplicity of use.
Just me thinking about it.
Not the simplicity of use in the sense of using the M4, in the sense of doing things to it. Like I talked about earlier, you can walk into Strikeforce right now, and they're not the most stocked airsoft store ever. You can walk into there, and they have a shelf that has 15 M4 rails on it. that are all different brand, like different makes of round, not different sizes, but different makes.
Actually, they're like 90% of those are the same brand, like, and then the other 10% is off.
No, he means like what the, like the real ones that they clone of. But like, oh yeah, what he's saying is you there's 15 Knights. Different shapes.
You have CAC, you have Danny LaFence, you have the Mega Arms, you have your generic key, like your NC Star and your fucking Vism rails.
Again, it probably plays into why ARs are so popular in the real gun market, because you get to play it. It's you get two hobbies gun in Barbie. One.
Right.
You get Gun Barbie and you get a gun.
Yeah. But then again, obviously, yeah, the AR is the most versatile platform in this country, in the world.
It really is. Yeah. It's the most versatile, as is the AK is the most used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then AKs are probably the second most popular on the market right now. And even then, there's only so many companies who make them.
I just like my HK stuff.
I know. That's why I like the HK416, because it's HK and it's an M4.
I love my FN
and
stuff.
And I win. That's all that matters.
I like my 417 because it checks all of those boxes.
It really does.
What about the 433 or whatever, the new one?
The 433. I'm okay. That'll
be interesting when it hits the market, because you know it's going to eventually.
Oh yeah.
If ASG made the Bren fucking whatever thing, which I actually really like, I think it's a cool looking gun.
The CZ Bren.
Something. The one that looks like a fucking scar and has a weird stock.
Yeah. They're pretty cool. I'll give it to that.
I like it a lot.
It's cool about those, the ones they came out with. They use a version 3 gearbox.
Right.
So it's pretty durable.
It's an M4 style with a version 3 in it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually pretty dope. I may have to look at one of those.
God, what are the just before, it got me thinking, what are the most popular airsoft guns right now? Like, obviously we have the M4 and AK. I think the SCAR at this point is getting up there, because there's a bunch of companies coming out with them.
They're pretty well manufactured. But when you go to a game, they're not well represented.
Yeah.
When you go to a game, it's overwhelmingly M4s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when I went to Faded Giant, I was like one of the few dudes running an AK, because I dropped one of Matt's fake lighted mags, and I was like, oh, fuck, like, I'm never going to find this. And I was like, yo, AK guy, here's your mag.
Yeah, I used, at Strike Force, when I just first started playing, I was always known as Scar guy, because I was the only one to ever use them.
Faded Giant, which one was that, American Milsim?
It was American Milsim at the abandoned nuclear storage facility in Bumhole, South Carolina.
Right.
No offense. No, a lot of offense intended, South Carolinians. I know some of you listen.
All of the offense in the world.
Yeah, all of it, just directed at you. What I said, I want you to take personally.
I still want to run an AK, because I have the closest thing to an M4 with an AK possible, which is that like fucking the Haley one. Whatever dynamic.
I want to run my AK.
All you need, like real talk, all you need is a 74U.
Nah, man. I like rails and I like optics.
You'd probably like mine. Zenico.
Zenico at 74U.
Eh, too heavy.
No.
I don't need that much rail.
No, like what I said. You'd probably like mine. Even though there's a lot of rail to it, it's the AK-105, which is an M4 style AK. It's basically the carbine version of the 74M.
Nah, yeah.
74U, just...
Well, depending on what I decide to run at...
the next Milsim West game?
No, at Jawbreaker. I'm torn right now, because all of my guns are modular. You could just change the handguards.
Right.
Most of them are full-length AK gas tubes and stocks, so you really can just change everything on them.
You can play Gun Barbie. Well, it's more like gun plastic surgery, because you really have to do some work to move them over.
It's just airsoft gun Lego. You can just do whatever the fuck you want with it.
How many AKs do you have?
Oh, Jesus
like
Christ.
Like 8?
Like all in working
Seven?
Order?
Yeah, all of them work right now. Yeah. The AKS-74U has problems with shooting semi on
well,
semi.
Well, no, because if I'm able to go to Jawbreaker...
Oh.
I got you covered, dude.
Would you want to be one of my boys?
Well, here's the thing, depending on what side you
I want to be one of... I want to use my AK for this game.
Are we resurrecting the Apex Predators?
If you wanted to use any of my guns, I can show you what I have and tell you what they like to eat in case of the full-length, you know, DMR platforms. I'll tell you what they like to eat, and we could work something out, because they're all fucking LCT.
Give him something light.
All of them are real sword LCT or E&L. Nobody's going to break them.
I just need something that takes 47 mag. That's it.
I got two of them. Three of them. We could put stuff in the RPK body if you were dead set on using it.
Nah.
No, but I could hook you need to use the RPK box at that game.
Well, I'm using the RPK box. That's in the underfolder, so you have one other option, which is the Ames carbine. It's basically a 10.5 AK-47 with a dildo grip in the front. It's awesome.
Oh, I know that one.
It's so great.
What box is in there right now?
Stock. Okay. It's just an ENL gearbox.
Which one has your old 74 box? The one that's got the short stroke. The one that I use. 74U. That turned everyone's heads at 74U.
That is in my VFC AKS 74U.
Remember that?
And it will take 47 mags.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can use that.
That was when I took Jesse's saw.
Yes.
And I was just like... Or was it your saw?
It was Jesse's.
No, it was Jesse's.
Yeah.
Like, if it was my saw, it probably would have killed a lot more.
That's when I jumped through the window.
Yes. I think it's time to call it.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little rambly. We had a good hour, though. Trim down will be, like, dead on an hour.
Yeah.
As usual, you guys can get us on social media. We're on Facebook. You can get to me, HBA_Megalo on Instagram. I have been getting some random followers. I don't know if it's through Has Been Airsoft or... I got a lot of for posting the Tiger Strike picture.
Dope.
With the Tiger Strike stuff all laid out.
Very dope.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Um,
keep your dick in a vice.